You also did say that the crisis, this pandemic contains an opportunity. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, for us, and I think, you know, for us as Christians and life in general, even Communist China that has claims no faith did say that every danger, you know, possesses internally an opportunity. And as you see, if you look at the history of plagues, even going way, way, way back, you know, the first 100 years or 200 years of Christianity, you see that in every plague and every pandemic, the world has always come out completely different with new lessons. And then, of course, time passes, and then we all begin to go back to our old ways all over again. First of all, there is a collective feeling of vulnerability. It's no longer now a question of how many private planes you have. It's not a question of how much money you have. It's not a question of status. You can be president. You can be a beggar on the street. You can go to London. You can go to New York. You can go to Paris. You can go anywhere, including stepping out. So if there is a sense in which, you know, this event has actually leveled everybody, and we're all on one plane. Now, whether that makes us humble, that's the first lesson that I think we should all take away. And secondly, and closely related to that, is the whole notion of, you know, especially in places like Africa, Nigeria in particular, where people in public office have just taken greed to a completely new level altogether. Now, suddenly, all these criminals and bandits who have stolen our money using public office and hidden the money abroad can actually not probably access those resources. And some of them, unfortunately, right across the world, may never be able to access their money in the safe havens where they have been kept. Now, it teaches us a lesson about distribution of resources. It teaches us a lesson about being there for one another. You know, and these lessons preceded Christ, because the whole whole sense of common humanity, even among the animal kingdom, you see that concern for one another is what has always held societies together. And thirdly, is the whole question of the mistaken notion that development means infrastructure. Now, every form of development is only important in relation to how it improves the quality of life of ordinary citizens. So, and I've said it severally, and if you remember, way back in August in 2015, when I spoke to you, you know, on channels, and the heavens literally came down. The point I raised was we need to be able to have a sense of national cohesion, a sense of togetherness, something the Constitution refers to as a sense of belonging. Now, I think that even our humility, we all now begin to realize our collective vulnerability, that it's not status, it's not class, you know, it's not privilege, it's not prince, it's not bishop, it's not status, it's not office. Then we can become more respectful and treat other people and behave in a way, a manner that God meant his children to behave. And then finally, okay, there are quite a lot of lessons, but finally, it's just to make the point again that we are paying the price for technology, you know, and that globalization, these are some of the benefits, let me use that word. Now we're facing, we're carried away by the human inventions, aeroplanes that made our journeys easier, technology, human movement, and so on and so forth. I'm sure you know that had this happened, had the coronavirus erupted in China some 30 years ago, the Chinese would have probably fought that disease and finished without anybody knowing from here in Nigeria. Up to perhaps about 10 or more years ago, very few people ever went to China. It was so distant. You know, in Islam, the Holy Prophet of Islam says people should seek knowledge, even if it took them to China, because China was considered the remote end of the world. Suddenly, China became so close. Now, it's just a question of understanding that this evidence of development has also come with its own crisis. And it raises the question of the kind of moral choices that we have to make, in front of technology, that technology should, in its best form, only be useful to the extent that it serves to improve the quality of life of God's children.